Are you all right?
Yeah. Yes.
Ready to go on?
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We need to exercise our spirit. This is a battle. It's a retreat, but it's a battle. Right? You feel tired. You feel distracted because somebody doesn't like what we're dealing with here. So we need to encourage one another by our own exercise of the Spirit.
Amen.
May the Lord continue to unveil us.
Amen.
During this third session. And may He bind the enemy.
Amen.
Actually, we bind the enemy.
Amen.
Right? And all his devices. All his distraction, making us feeling tired and moody. Praise the Lord. Well, what a picture. Thus far, we have seen, just to quickly review again, this matter of the divine history, that God doesn't want to be alone. It is not good for a man to be alone. And that, of course, man in the Bible is a type of God himself. So when God said, it is not good for a man to be alone, actually, he was talking about himself. It's not good for me to be alone. Therefore, God intended and purposed to have a counterpart, corporate, a group. God made the decision, a group that would be built up in Christ to be his organic, personal counterpart, his complement, his other half. You know, husbands say that their wife is the other half. God needs the other half.
Amen.
Will the other half shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
That's right. We're the other half. You see, no joke. We are God's other half.
Amen.
So he made a plan to realize this. And his plan we call the economy of God. And this economy being carried out is what we are referring to this weekend as the divine history. And what a step toward the carrying out of the divine history there was in the creation. Creation is not a haphazard thing, full of thought and full of meaning. How man was made so finely. You know, people today, it's just like a kid when he gets a toy. You know, a kid when he gets a toy, including older kids, like me, for example. You know, you get a younger kid gets a toy, and then he just, you know, doesn't wear out, it's broken. Mom! You know, and then older kids are the same. They get a camera, one of these digital cameras. I saw somebody holding up one of those digital cameras, you know. Well, I just got one. And, you know, the tendency is, well, you don't read the directions. That's what I'm getting at. You don't read the directions. Well, the directions are in God's Word. And actually, what we're going over in these last two meetings are the directions. And what is the device? Us. We are the device. We were made in a specific way. Unless you read the directions, you could damage the device. You could become frustrated with the device. You could break the device. And people are doing this as we speak. Because they haven't read the directions. The directions are in Genesis 1 and 2. God made man in a certain way, with a certain view, a certain purpose, to carry that purpose out in a certain way. Therefore, man was made with a spirit. We could never repeat this too much. I never realized about the human spirit until 36 years ago. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I didn't know. Even God being the Spirit, I thought he was the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost. Scary. What a cover-up job. Right? That Satan has done. Especially among Christians. They don't realize we have a spirit. The very center of the universe is the human spirit. And that spirit is the very spot in this universe where God could get in. Can't get into a monkey. Can't get into a mountain. You know what I mean? The only place that God could get in, get his foot in, if you will, is the human spirit. Amen. That is the target. God made us in that way, with a spirit, with the thought that one day that spirit would be the organ by which we could touch him for the first time, and we could receive him, and that we could keep receiving him every day. I saw a title. I didn't read the book, but I saw a title of a book a number of years ago. Your God is too small. Your God is too small. I thought, now that's an interesting title. I didn't bother to read it. The fact of the matter was, my God was too small. Why? Because as a Christian, you may have only touched God just a few times. Even as somebody that is here on this retreat, you may be in the category that you don't put yourself under that receiving, that dispensing of God that much. We'll get on this tonight. That is our burden. Actually, it's my burden for coming here. You don't eat that much God. You don't drink that much God. You don't breathe that much God. You say, well, I know that. I've heard that. Yes, you're right. I understand that. I appreciate it. But you don't do it. Therefore, your God is very small. You don't have much to talk about God. You're not like the Apostle Paul. Why was the Apostle Paul that way? Because he kept eating, he kept drinking, he kept breathing in God. Amen. And God is the living God. Amen. Once he gets into you, he knows exactly what he wants and exactly how to get it. He starts working right away. You don't have to prod him. When you say, Lord Jesus, okay, Lord, he knows what to do. You need to take him in, and you need to be open. You need to cooperate. Whatever he shines on, take care of. Whatever he says, do. Just amen, amen. You know, a very good word is amen, amen, amen. Lord Jesus, amen. We used to have three words. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. That is dispensing. Amen. That is mingling. Hallelujah. That is expression. Am I right? Let's try it. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. I like, you know, these songs, you get that, these motions, you know. I feel like I'm behind. I'm going to bring my notebook the next time, you know, and you know, these sisters over here, they really have it, you know. Smile on my face, you know, it's great. But, you know, let's do that. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. How about that? Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Except you have to stand up when you say hallelujah. That makes Satan tremble. Okay, let's try it. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Whoa. Let's do it by section.
Oh.
You You need to exercise more. Ben, you have to take the lead there in the background. You and Warren have to be the bookends here. Okay, let's try it again. Exercise your spirit stronger, deeper. Necessarily mean volume, just deeper. Dig deeper. God is deep within you, in the deepest part of your being. Just, oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Didn't work. Just like, you know, you put a nickel in. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, ran out. Another nickel. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. You know, that's the way we are sometimes. We're not here for ritual, for form. God is deep within. He's in your deepest part. You're, oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Let's try it that way. Amen. Go.
Oh, Lord, amen.
Much better.
Hallelujah.
Very good.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All together. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, isn't that good? I tell you, one day there will be a spectacle of spectacles. Isn't that great when you hear that? Hallelujah. It's almost like the roof is going to. One day we'll do that and we'll just keep right on going. How about that?
Amen.
And we'll say, how great this salvation is. I never dreamed this. Oh, when the Lord just, at a certain moment, the Lord from the spirit to the soul, you know, the mingling, and then hallelujah, into the body. The Lord is so fresh. I never thought of that, oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah, till I was standing up here. Isn't that? But it's true, right? Oh, Lord, he comes in. When you say amen day by day, the Lord is in there. Instead of, hey, wait, slow down, Lord. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord, let me tell you. You know, Lord, just back off, you know. Not that. No, you just say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what he wants. Dispensing, mingling, and expression.
Amen.
He made man with a spirit deep within to receive him, to digest him, to assimilate, to absorb him. That is what we mean by mingling. So that eventually, through his mind, through his emotion, through his will, oh, God could be expressed. Man was made in God's image. An old man used to illustrate this that I knew quite well with a glove. You know, a glove has the five fingers, but just by itself it's kind of, you know, droopy. But once the hand gets in there, then the glove fulfills the purpose for which it was made. That is to express the hand. The glove expresses the hand. Oh, look at the That's what we were made for.
Amen.
That's why you have a mind. That's why you have an emotion. That's why you have a will. That is why within you there is the inclination to love, the inclination to be in light, the inclination to be holy, the inclination to be righteous. God made you that way for his expression. So the more you're under the dispensing, the more God will mingle and will spread from the Spirit. You know, many Christians today, they just receive the Lord, as I mentioned this morning. I'm not criticizing them. They are God's children. But their seeing is short. They received God, and in a sense, God is there. He's so happy. He's in their spirit, but he's trapped. He's trapped. He's not expressing himself. He's not moving out from their spirit. So Satan is, well, I couldn't stop them. I couldn't stop them from receiving God. But if I couldn't stop them from receiving God, I'll keep them from eating God. Right? So God just remains trapped in the spirit. They're saying, oh, 25 years ago, God got into me, if they even see that. And then one of these days, I'm going to go to heaven and ski on the golden slopes. Somebody said that. Somebody said that. Ski on the golden slopes. How boring. You know, I told some young people in Anaheim, I said, there's a building in India made of gold. You know, some people think the New Jerusalem will be a physical building made of gold. And, you know, I saw this building. And Warren, you were probably there when I told this story, you know, and I was thinking, I was looking at the monitor. I said, golden building, you know, boom, with your eyes, you know, golden building. And, you know, all kinds of unrenewed thoughts started going through my mind. Like, what's the security like around there? But, you know, the most striking thing about that, what I saw was there were people there just walking in front of that gold building, just like, you know, there's a gold building, you know, and they were just walking, you know. In other words, already the novelty wore off. Well, anyway.
That gold gets old.
The gold gets old. Right? Only God. Why did I bring that up? Yeah, it's not a physical city. You know, we think, the golden city. Oh, my. Listen, after a week, you'd be bored. You would be there. Golden, it's gold. Yeah, it's golden. It's golden. See, the only thing that is new, the only thing that is fresh, the only thing that will drive you is God himself. Only that's what New Jerusalem means. New Jerusalem means new because only God is new.
Amen.
New Jerusalem means God has been worked in it. God is there. The Lord is there.
Amen.
In those people. Well, creation is such a step for the carrying out of God's economy. Especially the way man was made. Then, as we saw this morning, just quickly, after creating man in such a fine way, you need to read the directions. People today are so frustrated with their life because they're trying to use their device in the wrong way. They don't realize how carefully they were made. They're trying to jam all kinds of things into that God-shaped vacuum, and it doesn't work. And they're getting frustrated and frustrated and frustrated. Some even do away with themselves because they're so frustrated. We need to go and tell them. But the only way you'll go out and tell them isn't because I'll just crack the whip. Go out. No, you need to drink. You need to drink. You need to drink. You need to eat. You need to drink. Then you'll be like that river going out to the four corners. Nobody has to exhort you. Go out. No. You drink. You eat. Then you flow. You go / flow to tell them, friend, the only thing that'll fill that void in you is God himself.
Amen.
And he, as we're going to see right now in this message, has made himself just so available, just right. It is so easy to take him in right now. Man was made in such a way. We need to contemplate this. You need to think about this. We're not just here in this retreat just to get excited. I hope this will go with you and never leave you. I hope you'll think about Genesis 1 and 2. You'll contemplate man made in such a way. And you'll contemplate how God planted a garden.
and put the tree of life right in the middle. And then it was good for food, and how he put man right in front of it. And the next time you're there in your moods, you know, sometimes that's the way our day goes, you know. Go to bed, eat your breakfast. The next time you're stuck in a mood, you would realize, oh, God planted a garden. And he put the tree of life right in the middle of it. And he put me, a man with a spirit, right in front of it, with the intention to eat God.
Amen.
So that instead of I'd start to look like my daddy.
Amen.
Look like God, fulfilling his purpose. And of course, that eating is a marvelous kind of an eating with a marvelous result. By eating God as the living bread, you are eating God as the living stone, and you yourself become what you eat. Peter said, coming to him. That means to the Lord Jesus, as to a living stone. Then he says, you also as living stones, by coming to him. That means by being under his dispensing, you come to him to receive him. Then you, through that dispensing and the mingling, you become living stones. And the end result, a couple. A couple. An organic building. A couple is there, picturing God and his complement. How wonderful creation is. Well, that is the first major step in the divine history. Plan, that was in eternity past. Creation, that is the beginning. How meaningful. Oh, this is the activity of a driven God. Now, not long afterwards, after the problem came in, there was a promise that was given, that the woman would have a seed that eventually would come to crush the head of the serpent.
Amen.
That's why we need a smile on our face and a spring in our step.
Amen.
Because this seed needs some feet. And we've got the feet. Right? The promise there was that God himself one day would come to be a man for the fine and particular carrying out of his plan. God himself would come. Think about it. You talk about a long-distance, disinterested God. That is not our God. Our God was driven, he created purposefully, and then eventually one day he would come. These are the big days. These are the big days in the real history.
Yes.
Forget about the Spanish Armada. Forget about Einstein, Napoleon, Hitler, all this nonsense. Forget about Columbus. I tell you, one day God became a man.
Amen.
Stepped into human history.
Amen.
Why? Dispensing, mingling, expression.
Amen.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
He lived a life. How historic. 33.5 years. How historic. God was on earth living. A God-man. A prototype. A prototype. God finally got somebody who lived by him.
Amen.
The Lord said, as the Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. He that eats me shall live because of me.
Amen.
The Lord lived because of the Father. Finally, God got a man to take him.
He finally got a man through whose human virtues his divine attributes could shine out. It says that Jesus, you know, was full of the virtue. He had favor with God and with man. God was being expressed through that one man. He was among us. You could see him, you could hear him, you could touch him, you could admire him, but God was not satisfied. Not only did he want to be among us, he wanted to get into us. Therefore, another huge day in the divine history. One day, God died. The God-man, one day, he died.
Amen.
You know, Christianity, sometimes it's uncanny. I'm sorry to say, I don't refer to the people, but I refer to the system and the traditions that it has passed on and the attitudes that it has passed on. People are so sorry about poor Jesus. You know, poor Jesus. Oh, he was such a good man. They don't see God's economy. You know, they're saying, no, 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 no. Just like Peter when the Lord said, I'm going to have to be crucified. I'm going to have to be crucified and I'm going to have to rise up on the third day. And Peter said, no, 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 come on, Lord. This was so good until you just brought that up. No, that take it easy. Pity yourself. Oh, Lord. You know what the Lord told him? He says, get behind me, Satan. You know, the human concept. Oh, death. Oh, the Lord's death. How terrible. Oh, poor Jesus. Poor Jesus. Even today, people, you know, they look at a statue of the Lord hanging on the cross. Oh, they feel so sorry, so sorry, so sorry. They're feeling so sorry. No, no, no. God is there. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Weep, 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 God. Joy, joy, joy. Why? Because through death, the divine life that was in that one man was relieved. Oh! I tell you, when that happened, woo! You talk about the angels. Oh, they were so, whoa, there it is, there it is. Mark this down, mark this down. What a day. That life was released. It got out of the shell of the Lord's humanity. And then through his resurrection, my goodness, that life that had been released was imparted into all of us. God finally got his group. With the group, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The more you shout hallelujah, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah, the more the group will become the organism.
Amen.
And the more you, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah, the organism will come to its ultimate consummation. That is the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, like the Koreans say. What a day in the divine history. But you know something? Actually, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But it's okay. After the Lord's death and resurrection in the Bible, what do we have? The book of Acts. What is the book of Acts? The book of Acts is people going out, flowing out, flowing out. They're the eaters, they're the drinkers, they're the breathers. They go out to get more, to get more, to get more. So that through God's dispensing, through God's mingling, through the vehicle of the churches, the Lord could build up this organic entity.
Amen.
Right? But you know something? The book of Acts has no ending. It ends with Paul is just there dispensing.
Yeah.
Paul is just there. And the book ends. What does that mean? That means the history, the divine history, is still going on.
Amen.
And you know in whose hands it is now? Ira?
Us.
That's right. It's in our hands.
Amen.
And we're in God's hands. Anyway, we'll get to that tonight. The divine history. Isn't it good? Let's come to the outline. Already we're in trouble with the clock. That's why the New Jerusalem needs to come down. No clock. The prototype. This prototype, remember, is what the Lord is referred to in Ephesians chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 3, is the beloved. He's the beloved. God's choice, God's delight, God's favored object. And God's intention is to reproduce this favored object, this delight, to have a corporate the Christ. So that not just the one, but the many could be the objects of his delight and his favor. Isn't that good? Yeah. You know, I just have one son. But if I had a lot, you know, like Mark, your dad had 9. My goodness. There's not just one object. There's, well, the analogy breaks down a little bit. Because actually, all of those ones are in that one. That one is really full. The prototype, another P. He is God's delight. He is the object of God's favor. He is God's choice. Point A, God's way to carry out his plan for his eternal purpose is to first gain a marvelous prototype with a view to duplication. You ever heard this? Probably you have. But you're not really that impressed with it. We need to be impressed.
Amen.
Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Right? The Lord says, well, in Matthew 16, right? Peter said, the Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then some said this, some said that, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Peter. Peter eventually got something right. I really like Peter because he's just wrong. Simon W. Peter. Simon wrong Peter. He always got things wrong, but by the revelation from the Father, he got something right. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then the Lord answered him back. He said, Simon, that's right. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Father. But I also, there's another half to the equation. There's the other half. In God's mind, there's the other half. It's not just, you're the Christ. The Lord says, oh, that's right, Peter, that's right. That's very fine. Now let's enjoy the scenery. Up here on the mountain. No. The Lord was very quick because this is the driven God. Christ was God embodied.
Amen.
What came out of his mouth was that same sentiment, that same purpose was driving him. And he said, that's right, I am the Christ, but I say also to you, you are a stone, Peter. And upon this rock, meaning myself and the revelation concerning who I am, on this rock, I will what? Build my church.
Amen.
You know, my church, that doesn't only mean the church that I possess. It means the church that is of me.
Amen.
The church is of me. I'm the source, I'm the element, I'm the sphere of this church. And so I'm going to reproduce myself, Peter, in you, making you a living stone. And with the many reproductions, in a sense, I will build my church. These reproductions will be built together into one. That will be the Christ.
Amen.
Head plus body.
Amen.
Point B, quite wonderful. This Christ, His name is wonderful. Don't think you understand Christ. He's wonderful.
Amen.
He is both the prototype. God finally got His man, right? He is not only the prototype, but He's also the means for His own mass reproduction. How about that?
Amen.
You know, in the auto industry, they build a prototype. Well, the prototype can't, you know, boom, 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 boom. Boy, wouldn't that be a discovery? You know, if you had a prototype like that, you make the prototype, and then the prototype itself reproduces itself. No. But the Lord, yeah, somebody get rich quick. But the Lord is that way. He is the prototype. And through the process of this prototype, He becomes the means for His own mass reproduction.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, this is so good.
Amen.
He becomes the living bread. We sang that slogan, or that, you know, the back pager. Not a bad tune. We used to sing that. Did I tell you? A group of us had that, and we sang it to it. It sounded like a dirge from a monastery. Our spirit is our organ to receive God. No joke. We used to sing it like that. Anyway, this was much better. But you notice, much better. Especially, I like that. Unlimited way, unlimited way, unlimited way. Right? You just keep singing that. Unlimited way. The more you say that, the more you get the dispensing.
Amen.
It's unlimited. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, you notice in that song, in that quotation from a book, God has even embodied Himself in His Word.
Amen.
The Lord said, I'm the life. But the Lord also said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
We'll see more tomorrow, or tonight actually, that we could be in the dispensing of God by what? Eating His Word. And as such, by eating the Lord in His Word, He is what? The living bread. He is the living bread. And this living bread becomes the means for the reproduction of Christ. Because the living bread is also the living stone. And by eating the living bread, by coming to that living stone, you become the living stone. It's not a small thing to eat God.
Amen.
Be simple. We make it so complicated, but actually it's so profoundly simple.
Amen.
Remember that little child, you know, what is this? We need to be like that. Actually, the Lord said, unless you become like a little child, to do what? To eat God.
Amen.
Well, God's thought is very set. And His way is also very set. That is to distribute Himself, to dispense Himself into our spirit, to mingle Himself with us for His expression. Now, He must get Himself into a receivable form. He must get Himself into a receivable form. It was wonderful when the Lord was incarnated. John said, the Word became flesh and tabernacled what? Among us. This is wonderful. This is the beginning of God's dispensing. You have to realize. This process is the beginning of God's dispensing. The first step is God Himself becoming a man. This is something. God dwells in unapproachable light. For all of that time, he was mysterious. Man had never seen him. But one day, God became a man.
Amen.
He put on the human frame. And so now God, who had been so mysterious, is now among us. You could look at him. You could touch him. You could listen to him. You could shake his hand. You could pat him on the back. How wonderful. This is God's dispensing. Oh, this is a big step. God is driven. I mean, he's God, yet he became a man. Who's higher? Who's higher, God or man?
God.
Yeah, it's not a trick question. God's higher. God's higher. Yet God became a man. That's a step down. Only someone driven with a purpose would do something like that.
Yes.
So intent is God on achieving that purpose through his plan that he initially became a man. It says he humbled himself. He lowered himself down. He left the security, that high and lofty throne we talked about last night. And he became a man. Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know, people celebrate, religious people celebrate that today. How short, how perverted. That celebration, I should say that incarnation, must be seen in terms of the divine dispensing.
Yes.
That was the first step. Point one under A says this is a huge initial step in carrying out God's plan, God's economy, the divine history of distributing, dispensing himself into man as food by stepping directly into human history. We need to contemplate this. You need to think about it. You know, an old brother used to tell us, You need to read the Word of God, with much reconsideration. You know, once we you know, one retreat, the next retreat, you know, we hear something, and in a sense, sorry to say, no, don't be like that. Think about it. You think about your wardrobe, don't you? You probably think about it with too much reconsideration. How about God? How about God becoming a man?
Amen.
Why? What is the significance? Oh, this is God's dispensing. This is step one. Oh, here I come. Here I come. What a desire. This is not the action of a disinterested God. Point two, one God-man, listen, was now on the earth as a personal one-man tabernacle and temple. It says that God was dwelling in him. And the Lord called himself, his body, the temple. In other words, on earth, my goodness, one man was God's dwelling place, God's house. There was one man, at least, in whom God was dwelling. Whoa, what a step. No wonder the angels sang when the Lord was born. Woo! They know what's going on, and so does Satan know what's going on. They were going, oh, the angels are going on. Satan goes, oh, let's have a conference. They probably have conferences too. What are we going to do about this? Let's try and kill him. Right? They did. Try. One God-man was now on the earth as a personal tabernacle and temple. All the fullness of the Godhead was dwelling in that one, Colossians 2:9. Dwelling, embodied, and expressed in him. The mysterious God was now being declared, seen, and heard among men. Then, as we mentioned briefly, after he was born, Think about this. Was it all over after the Lord was born? Is it all over for you after you get saved? Ha, ha, ha. Many Christians behave that way. But after birth comes what? Growth. And after growth comes what? Living. Along with growth comes living. Living. Living a human life. To do what? To express something. And this is what the Lord did in his human living for 33 and a half years. You talk, forget the Spanish Armada. God was on the earth. Living. A God-man was there living. He was there eating, drinking, breathing, living, expressing. Finally, point one says, there was a man who expressed the divine attributes through his human virtues. When the Lord loved, it was God loving through his love. When the Lord wept, it was God weeping through his tears. When the Lord decided something, it was God. There's a portion in the gospel that said, the Lord prayed all night. He went up to the mountain to pray all night. One time I tried to pray for a half an hour at 3 o'clock in the morning with another brother. And we tried it for 4 days. And I'll never forget, we got down on our knees and the other brother, I won't mention who it was, I could still hear him. We were at Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the University of Michigan. And we were down there in his dorm and he would go, oh. And we had a list and we were, oh. The fifth day, we both slept through. But listen, the Lord prayed all night. Then you know what happened the next day after he prayed all night? You know what his praying was? His praying was drinking. His praying was being in the dispensing. And so the next day, you know what he did? He chose the 12 apostles. He healed people. He cast out demons. And he taught. Who was doing that? I tell you, God was doing that.
Amen.
He drank God all night. And then the next day, God was very active through that man, Jesus.
Amen.
What is this? A God-man living. Finally, there was one man on the earth, at least, living according to God's pleasure. Two, God's desire is to reproduce this one. And head up all things in him, according to Ephesians 1:10. Head up all things in the Christ, literally. God's intention is that this one become the head of a body. There'd be a body of people living like this. The Bible calls that one new man. One new man. You know, as I look at you this morning, I see the makings of the one new man. Hallelujah!
Amen.
This is wonderful. I get red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Tall, short, fat, skinny. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Tall, short, ample, less ample. But anyway, we're all here. Right? We're all here doing what? Being under God's dispensing.
Amen.
In the mingling.
Amen.
To live a God-man living.
Amen.
As the one new man.
Amen.
The Christ.
Amen.
Well, how could God do this? We've already seen. He was there among men. But now through his death. That's why I'm so happy. There's a certain institution down the street from where I teach. And I'm thinking one day I'm going to go in there. Actually, I don't know if the Lord will ever give me the liberty. But I might take some ones along. Maybe Warren should fly down. Tim Washington. And we'll go in there and we will shout, "Hallelujah, what a death." And then as the ushers take us out, we'll shout it again. Hallelujah, what a death. Oh, a huge day, a huge event, saints, in the divine history was the day that the Lord Jesus was crucified. And he was happy about it. That was the joy that was set before him. This was not a martyrdom. This was a releasing. First of all, it was a payment. It was a payment for our debt that was caused by the problem. He took care of all of that. Do you have any problems?
No.
See, you learned from last night. Let me ask you again. Do you have any problems?
No.
I'm not joking. What do you believe? Your feeling, your mood, or God's word?
Amen.
Look, God's word tells us that the Lord, through his death, dealt with all of the negative items.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Hallelujah, we believe it.
Amen.
So on the negative side, what a death. Aren't you happy?
Amen.
Look at all the things that were dealt with. Satan, ha ha ha. You just tell him, you've been destroyed.
Amen.
He doesn't like God's word. You know, he tried to tempt the Lord and the Lord just fired back. It is written, it is written, it is written. Satan left. Of course, he came back. But then when he came back, boom, boom, boom. You need to do the same thing. The Lord that said, it is written, is now in you.
Amen.
Wanting to tell the enemy, Satan, it is written. Boom, boom, boom. You've been destroyed. You that have the power of death, you have been destroyed.
Amen.
How about sin? Is that a problem?
No.
Good. You see, we declare the word. The Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world.
Amen.
To take away the source, the evil nature of that problem. The flesh, a fallen man, dealt with. The evil world system, dealt with.
Amen.
The old creation, dealt with. The separating ordinances of the law, dealt with. Your way to brush your teeth. Your roommate's way to brush your teeth. Your way to put the tissue. Your way to put the tissue on the holder. His way to put the tissue on the holder. It seems like I'm being a little silly, but that's where we're at. But all of those ordinances have been slain. When we're in our spirit, declaring the word, we're in the reality. We have no problem.
Amen.
The Chinese have a phrase, meo wenti, right? Meo wenti, no problem. Am I right, Ira?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Meo wenti, no problem.
Amen.
That is on the negative side. On the positive side, that life that was trapped, in a sense, inside that one God-man through his crucifixion, that life was released. Wonderful. Graphically portrayed when he was on the cross and the soldier pierced his side. Satan thought, oh, that's the real coup de grace. You know, when Satan instigated that soldier, okay, run him through, run him through. And then Satan was, ha, 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 take that. And then out from the Lord's side, out came what? Blood and water. And the Lord told Satan, take that. Hallelujah!
Yeah!
Blood and water.
Yeah.
Blood for redemption. Water for what? Life. For life. For regenerating. For saving us to the uttermost.
Yes.
Flowed out. The life was released. What would you say about Christ's death? Think about it. I was hoping you'd shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
What a death. What a death. Are you sad about it?
No.
Oh, we're happy about it. Oh, what a death.
Amen.
What a death. What a day in the divine history.
Amen.
God who was among us has now been released. Oh, I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Then through his resurrection, not only am I out, now I can get in. Warren. You know what the Lord did after he was resurrected? It's very significant. The disciples were all together, right? So the Lord, it says the doors were all locked. They were shut. And all of a sudden the Lord comes in. Figure that out. The doors were shut and then the Lord was there. And yet he ate. And they touched him. Figure that out. What would you say? You have to learn. Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful. What would you say?
Wonderful.
That's right. Wonderful. So what did the Lord do when he came in like that? Oh, it's me, it's me. He said, okay, take out your notebooks. Take out your piece of, we're going to have a quiz, a spot quiz here. Is that what the... I'm going to give you a lecture now on the significance of the resurrection. Peter, behave yourself. Is that what the Lord did?
No!
It's just like in the beginning. The only commandment was related to eating. This is what God has on his mind. So it is very significant that when the Lord came through that door, the first thing he did was to breathe himself out and breathe himself into the disciples. He said, receive the holy breath. The Lord came in, no pencil, no paper, just breathing out himself because he had become the Spirit. He had gone through a process. What a pee this is. What a pee this is. Incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, breath. You talk about the best form to be in. Think about it. God today is the Spirit. You know, religion, just say, oh, the Father, oh, the Son, oh, the Spirit, oh, oh, oh. Spirit means air. Spirit means breath. Spirit means wind. Spirit is a form whereby you can get into God.
Amen.
This is what God has in mind. This is why he came. This is why he became a man. This is why he lived a human life. This is why he was crucified. This is why he was resurrected, to become the heir.
Amen.
So that what? He could get himself into you.
Amen.
You talk about the angels. Oh, that night when the Lord went, receive the holy breath. My goodness, they were probably flipping over. I'm not joking. It says that they rejoiced. They sang for joy. They know what's going on. Even the trees know what's going on. Whoops. That's what Sharon Wilson wrote on her final one time. Oops. I used to be her teacher. What a day! The Lord became the Spirit! The last Adam, Paul writes, is the life-giving Spirit. He became a life-giving Spirit. Now you can get into him. And once you get into him, just like the breath, when I walked into this room, I was in the air. And then when I breathed, my, the air, not too good, is it? Anyway, it got in. The air got into me.
Amen.
We're in Christ.
Amen.
Christ is in us.
Amen.
God has been dispensed.
Amen.
He's in us. We're in him.
Amen.
Read Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ, in him, in him. Where are you?
In him.
Where are you?
In him.
Are you in your mood?
No.
Where are you?
In him.
Where is he?
In him.
He's got you surrounded.
In him.
Might as well just say amen. Hallelujah. Am I right?
Amen.
Oh, isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
This is the divine history.
Amen.
Aren't you excited?
Amen.
There's nothing else to talk about. Oh, I am so excited about this. I never cease to be. If you ever invite me again, I'll probably talk about the same thing. They rang the bell. Well, maybe it's good enough. Oh, this prototype reproduces himself to bring forth that group for God and the brothers for himself. And his promise, finally and quickly, his promise. Let me say this. Tonight we'll have more time.
Yes.
And after my speaking tonight, which will be with quite a burden, there will be time for you to speak.
Amen.
Will you speak?
Amen.
Yeah, it's a little weak. Listen, let me put it this way. Do you want a drink?
Amen.
Do you want a drink?
Amen.
Try to speak. When you speak, oh, will you get a drink?
Amen.
Not only will you get a drink, but others will get a drink.
Amen.
And God is happy because dispensing is going on in you and in everybody. The more we speak, the more the dispensing is going on, the more the mingling is going on, and the more the expression is coming out.
Amen.
So tonight, you'll have a chance to speak. Let me just finish up here, and then we'll have our lunch. Maybe we'll pray together for a minute or so, two by two. There is a promise. Having become the Spirit, the many sons are brought forth in the Lord's resurrection. That is the group. They are like newborn babies. You know, when a baby is born, what do you say? What did I say to my son? Well, son, welcome. I'm so glad you look like me from the back. You're on your own. No, we don't do that. When we are brought forth in resurrection, like Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're like newborn babies. We have his life and his nature, but we need to grow. This is why we're talking about eating, drinking, and breathing. That's the way you grow. And we're talking about speaking. That is exercising. That is also the way you grow. You don't just eat, drink, breathe, eat, drink, breathe. No, you speak. What you get, you speak out. All of that will help you to grow. So tonight and tomorrow, let us speak. I don't mean to intimidate you, but this will help you. You'll love this. You'll get addicted to this. It's like me. You'll be beyond yourself. I'm shy. We need to grow and mature through the dispensing and the mingling in order to bear his appearance, his expression.
Amen.
And then finally, he promised his believers before his death and resurrection that through resurrection, he would be what? The living bread for them to eat. This implies dispensing and mingling. In order to live because of him. That is expression. Our thing that we're memorizing says, you eat and then you live out in an unlimited way, in an unlimited way, in an unlimited way. You live out. The living out is the expression. You eat and then you live. And then finally, the Lord said that he is the living water. For them to drink, that is the dispensing. Tonight we'll see how, practically. So that out of their innermost being, something happens. Mingling goes on. So that that drink, then out of their innermost being, flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
That is expression. His believers, then, would have a direct and enjoyable share in the divine history.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Time for lunch. But anyway, we'll pick up right from that point tonight.
Hey, just a second before we leave.